Yep. Been good to me.
Been good to me. Amen.
Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. The same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one of such little children, little child, in my name receiveth me. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes and be cast into hell fire. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the song that was just sang, how it touches my heart. And Lord, you've been wonderful to me, guiding, leading, protecting, watching over. Your hand and plenteous in mercy, your kindness, the provisions, the grace, the mercy, the long-suffering. Oh, what a Savior. I ask this morning in Jesus' name, Lord, as we look at this passage of Scripture, and Lord, speak for a few moments. I pray that, Lord, you give us the wisdom, the boldness. Would you help my feeble mind? And I pray, God, give me wisdom to deal with this subject. Would you work in the heart and minds of the people? I pray that, Lord, as John preached this morning, they'll listen. I pray they'll receive. I pray they won't be thinking of other things, but they'll listen to the message. And I pray, Lord, you'd speak to their heart. Lord, if they're not in your family, I pray, Lord, they would see that you're seeking for them to be in your family. And I pray you'd draw them to yourself. Bless now in this hour, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. The disciples, as we have said before, were discussing this and disputing about it and kind of arguing about it in the way, who's going to be the best, who's going to be the greatest, who's going to get to sit on the right hand. And so they were discussing this along the way. And so when it comes time, they asked the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who's going to be the most valuable and the most precious to you? Who are the ones that just are the apple of your eye and ones that you love and cherish the most? And so he takes a little child and sets him in the midst, and he teaches him a lesson. He uses the child as an example of one that's very precious, one that's very tender, showing that the child is the example of one that is open, one that's not filled with this world's foolishness, and one that's not set in their ways. And if you'll humble yourself as a child, if you'll come with that simple faith and childlike spirit, he said, you'll be great in the kingdom of heaven. You'll be the one that I'll cherish. You'll be the one I'll love. You'll be the one, you'll be the greatest to me. It's those that come in humility and those that come and are converted, turn from their sin. I love the way he put that in there. If they'll be converted, if they'll repent, turn from their ways. Jesus wasn't afraid to preach repentance. He put it in every message he'd preach in. He'd put in the doctrine of repentance. But he said if they'd be converted and come as little children, if they'd come humbly, if they'd humble themselves, and I guess that's becoming a very difficult thing to do in our day, to humble ourselves. We're not a people that tend to put ourselves down or deny ourselves or humble ourselves, take our shoes off. Often when I pray, and I'm not the super spiritual. I'm definitely not the super spiritual. But often when I pray, I try to keep that thought in my mind. Do I have my shoes off? Am I coming with the spirit of you need to recognize me? Or am I coming with the spirit of I'm not worthy of the least of your mercies? How am I coming? How am I approaching his throne? Am I coming in on my knees? Or am I coming brazenly as though I'm worthy of recognition and acknowledge? And he says, if you'll come as a little child, if you'll come humbly, if you'll come as a child tenderly, if you'll come as a child looking to me as the one that you love and that you admire, that you adore, that you fear, that you respect, as you believe in, if you'll look to me as your Father, as a child looks up in that childlike faith of wonder and looking with that childlike interest and love of their dad, wanting to please and wanting to obey and wanting to seek his will, if you'll come as a child humbly before me, he said, you'll be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, he continues this discussion and dealing with the subject, and immediately he begins to send out some warnings. He begins to tell you how really valuable and precious to him his little children are. Just as you value and treasure your children, just as you watch over and you care for them, our Father is a good Father. He loves his children. He said that if you'll come out and be separate, in 2 Corinthians 16, he says, I'll be a father unto you and you'll be my sons and daughters. And so when he said, I'll be a father, then I'll take all the role of a father. I'll provide your needs and I'll watch over you. I'll care for you. I'll love you as one of my little children. And so he begins to now send out a warning. He begins to tell him how that if you offend one of my little ones, if you offend one of my little ones, woe unto you. It'd be better that a millstone was tied about your neck and you was drowned in the sea than if you'd offend one of my little ones. Now that word offend there means to trip somebody up. It means to entice them to sin. That means you'd be a stumbling block in their way and try to make them fall. And he said it'd be better for you that you drowned in the sea, that a millstone dragged you to the bottom of the sea, than for you to lead one of my little ones astray, or you to offend and try to entice, to do evil, to cause them to trip up. Woe unto you. I'm saying he's telling you, you're cursed of God if you try to offend one of my little ones. I look out for them. I watch out for them. They're my precious children. They're great in the kingdom of heaven. They're special to me. And can I say to you, he's making the warning that these people, he takes it personally. You remember Saul on the road to Damascus when he was persecuting the church? Jesus cried out of heaven to Saul on the road to Damascus, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He took it personally when Saul was persecuting the church. Can I say to you, when you're offending the church, when you're trying to lead the church astray, When you're trying to trip up folks in the church and trying to lead them off into sin, Jesus takes it personally. Woe unto that person. Woe, and that word woe means that you're in danger of judgment. There's a curse of God upon you. What a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Can I say that's a dangerous thing to be a person that is a sower of discord in the church. A person that leads other people into some sort of sin or something they're involved in and drags somebody down spiritually. Woe unto you, Jesus said. That's a thing to do that you'll cause the judgment of God. Over in the book of Luke, in a parallel passage, we see over here where he talks about how that the unjust judge, and he gives that passage. Let me just read it to you. In Luke, he gives this warning out. He speaks about the unjust judge and the woman praying to him. And on the end of that, he makes this statement in verse number 6 of Luke chapter 18. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. He's using a parable. He said, shall not God avenge His own elect, which cried day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? I'm saying to you, He will avenge His children that cry unto Him. So woe unto that person. Woe unto that person that offends or that tries to lead somebody astray. He talks about how offenses will be in this world. There'll be folks that'll be there, and he says they'd best beware of the curse of God, the judgment of God upon anybody that tries to destroy the life of a Christian, defile the testimony of a Christian. Offenses will come, but then he says, woe to that man or that woman by whom the offense is coming. Judgment will come upon them. The curse of God will be upon them. I don't know about you. I'd fear God putting a curse on me. Woe to that person that offends. We need to be so careful around Christians. We need to be so sensitive. They're precious in the sight of the Lord. They're even precious in their death. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And can I say to you, I'll tell you who's most valuable to me. I'll tell you who's most precious to me. And he begins to tell him how much care and watchfulness he's going to have over his children and how he's going to deal with everyone that offends them and tries to mar their life and tries to trip them up or tries to entice them to sin. He continues on and he says, wherefore, if thy hand offend or foot offend thee, cut him off. And, of course, he goes on to say about the eye offensive. He's dealing with how that if there's things in this world that will try to entice you or lead you out into sin, you're much better off not having these things, not allowing these things to get a hold of you. You're better never to see some things in this world than to see some things and end up causing you to be dragged into hell. There's better things that you never touch, that you never handle, if it's going to offend you or lead you astray or entice you. You're much better off that you never touch of many of the pleasures and many of the things of this world. You're much better off your foot never takes you to places of this world that will cause you to stumble or fall. You're much better if you've never been there, never seen the things, never went to those pleasure places than to go to them and have them cause you to fall. And so he deals with the things, the offenses, and the things that will cause people to stumble. And then he says in verse 10, take heed that you despise not one of my little ones, that you not contemn, you do not defeat, you do not destroy, you do not trouble one of my little ones. He says, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Their angels report, and he says, you need to be careful. You need to be aware. Warnings all the way down through here about the care and the protection he has, the concern, and how he will deal with people that will offend one of his little children. He is a good father. Believe me, I have seen him. Well, once in a while, I don't say this braggadociously, and I don't say this in a wrong spirit of manner, but sometimes I'll drive up the mission road. And as I drive up the road, I'll think about the deliverance of God has given me from the people that tried to abuse me. From day one, we had that property. From day one, people were constantly harassing me, threatening me. Had a man call me, said he's going to throw a rock through my windshield. Had him shoot a gun off beside me. Just went through it, standing in the road in front of me, cussed me. I had two ladies stand there. I was trying to dump a load of gravel, and they cussed me and cussed me and cussed me. Now I can ride up the road. People wave at me. And I'll say, thank you, Lord. God takes it seriously. You trying to destroy, you trying to trip up, you trying to hurt one of his little ones. Woe unto that person. You're living in dangerous ground. Look at me, Mom. You're living in dangerous ground. You lead one of your little children astray. They're trying to get right with God, trying to seek God, and you get upset or you think things aren't just the way it ought to be and you offend your little child. You trip them up spiritually. Can you imagine? Can you imagine tripping somebody up? Leading somebody to sin? Causing somebody to fall? Can you imagine how wicked that is? People do it. I see little children that they'd shake my hand and love me and say, I love you, preacher. And then maybe one of the parents get mad at me. And I watch the kids walk by and they won't shake my hand and they'll look at me funny. And I thought, oh, what a shame. The person that God has said, and I'm not great, nothing special about me. It's what I'm doing that's great. It's what I'm doing. Me as a person, I'm just a person just like you. I'm a man just like any other man. But what I'm doing is vitally. Don't you ever down a preacher for preaching the gospel and dealing with you over your sin. That's a dangerous thing to do. And I say to you, you need to esteem me highly for the work's sake. What I'm doing in preaching to you, preaching the gospel. How important that is to you. How necessary it is for you. And so, take heed. Beware of the warning. He's given his disciples this warning about how who's going to be the greatest and how precious the children of God are in his sight. He gets down to verse number 11 and he gives his mission and he's still dealing with this same thought. God's on a mission. God has a purpose. God has a plan. And he's still dealing with this thought of reaching his little children, dealing with his little children. He said four. And so this connects with all the above. The reason Jesus come, the reason he died on the cross, the reason he's on this mission trip unto this world, is because he desires to see sinners saved. And so he said, for the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. Just for a few brief moments this morning, I want to look at that thought and just kind of deal for a few moments with the Savior and the sinner. The Savior and the sinner. I see here the Savior as he seeks throughout this world. I hope you'll listen to me on purpose. You come to church. Listen. Brother John preached a good message in Sunday school. You need to listen. Look at me. This may be the only message you get that God speaks to your soul and deals with you about a salvation. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. I want to preach to you about the Savior. And if you're not saved, the wonder of wonders that he'd even desire you. I want to paint that picture just for a few moments in your mind. This mission of his, this desire of his. And he, no doubt he's still giving this warning out. Don't hinder my mission. He's warned you not to distract or try to get in the way or try to hinder his little ones or abuse one of his little ones, to offend one of his little ones, or despise one. And he says, he's on this mission trip to reach these little ones. This is what his desire, this is what his purpose, this is what his plan of the ages is, to seek and to save that which is lost. And so we see the Savior, the seeking Savior. And I marvel when I begin to think of him going about seeking the lost. Everything about it could astound and boggle the mind. When you look at it in truth, when you look at it in reality, when you look at it in actually the way it really is, it's hard to believe, it's hard to really fathom. When you look at it and take this picture, just as it is, it's hard to fathom that he would go about seeking to pardon and to forgive sinners. Think of this for a moment. He's the one that's been offended. He's the one that's been violated. He's the one that's been sinned against. He's the one that made man in the first place. He's the one that's made the law. He's the one that is the king of all kings. He's the one that has the kingdom. And every sinner has transgressed his law, is a violator of his law. Every sinner has committed high treason against his kingdom. Every sinner has lived in the vanity of his mind. And every sinner has gone about mocking his judgment and mocking his word and walking about thinking that they have a better understanding of things and questioning the very word of God. Think of him as the ruler of the universe. Think of him as our creator, the one that made us. And here's little puny man on earth challenging the very word of God and challenging the very existence of God. We're talking about why would he ever seek a sinner? I'm saying think about how that man rises up against him in rebellion and shows his little puny strength and questions the word of God. Uses the very earth that God created. Lives on this earth. Enjoys God's sunshine. If you don't believe in God, stop breathing His air. You don't believe in God, stop enjoying His sunshine. You don't believe in God, get off His planet if you don't believe in Him. I'm saying this is His earth, this is His creation. You enjoy everything about it. But I say, you, how can a little puny man question the very existence of God? My, I marvel at that. Can I say to you, if you was in this place, put yourself in God's place. Put yourself, just picture yourself for just a moment this morning that you're in God's stead. Think of what you would do to man if man treated you like they treat God. Can I say to you, I marvel that instead of seeking to forgive man, I marvel he don't seek to judge man. I marvel you don't seek to hunt man down as a rabid animal and destroy him. I marvel that he gives man any length of life whatsoever in his rebellion, in his resistance, in his attitude towards God. I marvel that he lets a sinner live. If God should have marked iniquity, who should stand? I marvel that he lets you have another day of life and your rebellion and resistance against him, the Son of Man. In his long suffering and patience, in his kindness and his mercy, instead of seeking judgment, he seeks to show mercy and love. Can I say to you, you're not waiting to be proven guilty. Just to be careful, you are guilty. You are already judged by God. All have sinned. All have transgressed the law of God. All have sinned against the Word of God and transgressed. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I say to you, everyone has committed a sin against God's Word, violated the law of God. So you are already guilty. And God has sent... Are you listening? God has sent His warrant for your arrest. God has subpoenaed you. God has sent a warrant for your arrest till you be brought before the judgment of God. Not to be proven a sinner, but to give you the penalty for your sin. And I say to you that the high sheriff of heaven, the Holy Spirit of God, was sent to serve that warrant on every sinner. Every sinner is convicted. When he has come, he will reprove this world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. The high sheriff of heaven is sent to deal and to show every sinner that you're guilty before God. I marvel that instead of him bringing you into judgment and enjoying judging you and enjoying and thrilling giving you what you deserve, instead of doing that, he'd much rather go out and seek to save and forgive that which is lost. You know, that's a wonder of wonders that God would offer pardon, that God would offer forgiveness, that God would offer, instead of dealing with people like they deserve, instead of giving their just due, instead of God cutting you off early, instead of God dealing with you, can you imagine the times that you get no look at me? You never knew it. You never realized it. You didn't even know he was moving in his divine promise. Can you imagine the times he spared your life? In his loving mercy, in his desire to see you saved, he lengthened your days. He spared your life. He watched over you. Why? He was seeking to save that which is lost. He was wanting to forgive you. Do you understand that? After the way you've been treating him, blasphemed his name, take his name in vain, mocked his word, trampled under feet the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, due to spite to the Spirit of God, and yet he says, I want to forgive you. Doesn't that amaze you? Isn't that a wonder of wonders that God would still want to forgive? Would you want to forgive somebody that treated you like people treat God after he's reached way down and showed his tender mercy, sent his son to die on the cross for your sins, did everything he possibly can to see you get to heaven, and yet you ignore it, treat it as something not worthy of your time or interest, and yet he's willing to forgive. I marvel at that. I stand back and wonder at that. That he'd be willing to forgive you. I mean, not just say, I forgive you, but to forgive you completely and totally, eternally, forever forgive you. Never to dangle that sin before you again. Never to remember that sin anymore. Forgive you for all eternity for your sin. You'll never have to face it again. You come to him, he'll seek and to save that which is lost. He'll deliver you for all eternity from your sin. If you just believe that, that would help your mind. Do you know why? Look at me this morning. Do you want to know why you have a problem with forgiveness of God? It's because you have a hard time forgiving other people. That's why you have a hard time accepting the forgiveness of God. You hold grudges. You think evil of other people. You think of these. Now you just don't think. You don't realize. You won't accept that God's not like you. When he says, I forgive, he really forgives. He forgives completely, eternally, forever. Never to remember against you anymore. To put in the sea of forgetfulness. What a wonder. Oh, what a Savior. To think that he would seek out people that's going away from him. People that don't care about him. People that don't love him. People that blaspheme his name. People that abuse his work. People that live wicked. He's talking about all these people. Beware, woe, woe unto you, woe unto you. Watch out, you despise one of my little ones. Better a millstone hang about your neck. But if you'll repent, if you'll be converted, if you'll humble yourself like one of these little ones, you know what I'll do for you? No matter how vile, how wicked and vile you are, I'll forgive you. I'll forgive you. the Savior, the Savior. Look at the sinner just for a brief moment. Look at the sinner. You come to seek and to save that which is lost. Walking in the vanity of their mind, thinking themselves wise, thinking they've got life all figured out, and they don't look at me, don't even know where they're going. Got no idea what lies ahead. I've got no idea what their life is, aim or goal is. Has no purpose in life. They're lost. Like a man in the woods, lost and searching for direction. So it is a sinner, lost in his ways, lost in his views, lost in his reasoning. That's why he don't have a sound mind. He's lost in understanding truth, in understanding his own spiritual state. He's lost, having no understanding, thinking themselves that they've got life all figured out and they know how to deal with God. You ought to go home. If you don't get saved this morning, you ought to go home and look in the mirror and say, "You're lost! You're lost! You're not going to be lost! You're lost!" What an awful thing. What an awful, what a harsh word. What a cold word. The word means perishing. The word means dying. Jesus says, "You're dying. You're perishing. You're lost." And he said, if you'd come, if you'd humble yourself as a little child, if you'll turn from your sin, turn from your wickedness, turn from yourself, turn from the love of this world, turn from the things that you do, that you love, and things that's between you and me, he said, God would take you into his family. He'll forgive you. He'll save. He'll deliver you from your sin. I believe in a salvation that's a deliverance from sin. Man is under the bondage. He's under the dominion of sin. Sin has control of his life. Sin is making you live like you live. Sin is making you treat the Bible like you do. Sin is making you think like you think. Sin is making you live the way you live. Sin has given your thoughts. Sin has given you the purpose for your life. Sin has given you the rebellion and resistance against God. That's sin in your life. It's deceptive. It's controlling. It's damning the soul. And so, he came to seek. He came to forgive. He came to pardon, came to give life to people that don't even care about him, that don't love him, don't have any interest in him, have resisted him, gone your own way, done your own thing, put your little puny fist towards heaven and threatened the Almighty God that made the mountains, scooped out the valleys. Look at me, the very God that can hold the oceans in his hand, and you would dare say blasphemous words against him. Yet, he'll forgive you. Is that a marvel? Is that a wonder? Is that a wonder? Men, he warns them, he gives them counsel. I'll tell you who's the greatest in heaven. And I'll tell you what my mission and my purpose is here on this earth. This is why I come. This is the whole reason I went to the cross. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save. He's come to search this world out. He's come to find people that he can deliver from their sin. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Can I ask you this morning, are you lost? Are you perishing? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, who whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Why come? That's His love. That's His love. If I was in His stead, and if you was in His stead, and people treated you like you've been treating God, you wouldn't let them breathe another breath. You wouldn't let their heart beat another time. If they said about you what you said about God, remarks you've said, the disrespect, no reverence, no dread, no faith, no belief in God. If you had somebody talking about you the way folks talk about God, oh my, you'd want to seek vengeance right away. Instead, God, in His loving mercy and kindness, is seeking to forgive, to pardon from their sin. I ask this morning, are you lost? Are you lost? Are you perishing? The Savior this morning. If you'll humble yourself before Him, if you'll come. Let's stand. Turn to 161 in your songbook. Do you ever wonder what God's seen in you? Why He dealt with you and spared your life? Why He wooed, called you, troubled your soul? But we're coming up close to Thanksgiving. He told the disciples one time, they were rejoicing. He said, now I tell you what you're going to rejoice about. Here's what you can give thanks for. That your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can be thankful, look at me. You can be thankful that you didn't die long. Some of you look at me are going to ignore what I'm preaching and you're going to die lost. You're going to die lost. You're going to perish. Look at me carefully. Don't blame God. He's done everything He possibly can to try to reach your soul. He's spared your life. He's wooed and called you in divine providence. He's moved in your life, brought people by. You've heard the Word of God. You understand what it means to be saved. He's done everything He can to try to keep you out of hell. Everything He can without overstepping His boundary and going against your will and overcoming your will. He's given you the opportunity to look to Him yourself. Won't you come this morning? The songwriter said, Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today. Why don't you come? Preacher, you don't know the sins I've committed. You don't know the things in my life. He's seeking you to save you. Preacher, He won't forgive. Yes, He will. Yes, He will. Preacher, I've done this. I've done that. He won't. That's hard. I can't fathom this. I try to picture this. I've meditated on this thought. That He'd rather. Now, if I had somebody offend me and treat me like I treated God before I was saved, if I looked at my heart and I say, what would I desire that person of me? I wouldn't rather forgive him. I'd rather see him judged than put in hell. But He's just the opposite of that. His ways are not our ways.
Instead of seeking retribution, instead of seeking vengeance and judgment, instead of seeking to deal with you like you deserve, he'd much rather. This is his purpose. This is his desire. He'd rather forgive you this morning. Can you fathom that? Can you understand that? Isn't that a wonder? He'd rather forgive you. You know, in your minds, in our minds, we think God's out to get us. God's out to try to trip us up. I can't, you know, and that troubled me for a long time as a young person. I just thought God was just waiting to judge me and just waiting to condemn me and just waiting to catch me. And if I'm not careful, I'll allow those thoughts to get in my mind. But that's not Him. He'd rather forgive. He'd rather forgive than to grab you up and shake you, bind you hand and feet, cast you into the pits of hell where we deserve. Instead, He'd rather welcome you into His family. I understand that. Beyond me. For the love of God. The mercy of God, the kindness of God, the patience of God, the wonder that He would have long suffering and patience with you. You're here this morning. The very fact that you're here is God has been long suffering towards you. I want you to know that. It isn't because you've watched over yourself and you've been careful and you've been real cautious on how you live. No. You haven't spared your own life. God has, we live and move and have our being in Him. God has kept you alive. God Almighty has kept you alive. You could have choked on a steak heat last night. You could have died on the way to church. God spared your life in His mercy. Why? Because He wants to forgive you. Wants to forgive. Isn't that wonderful, God? Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling to, why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Won't you come? Won't you step out? We begin to sing this song, why don't you come? If you're a man, I'll have a man pray with you. If you have a lady, I'll have a lady pray with you. You're lost. You don't have to stay that way. God is desiring to forgive you. You'll repent of your sins. Humble yourself. Admit yourself you're not worthy of the least of His mercy. Come. And He's ready to pardon. Won't you come as we begin to sing? Won't you step out? Won't you come? Run to this altar. Won't you come?